meant that. It's a joy to have you here. Also good to welcome our internet audience to our services today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 8. The 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. We come now to the time that we devote to the preaching and the teaching of God's blessed word. There is a document, my dear friends, that is more important than the Constitution of the United States. And that document is the infallible, inscribed word of God. And how I am so thankful that God has not left us without his word and without his promise. And we have it today, and we can buy a copy of it today, and we can read it, and it regulates our lives, and it gives us hope in time of despondency. It gives us light in times of darkness. And so we want you to follow along in the message this morning from Genesis chapter number 8. Notice beginning with verse 1. And God remembered Noah. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't forget you? Just simply wipe you off as though you never existed on planet Earth. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. They began to diminish and go down. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet 7 days, 7 other days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now, if we're going to borrow a text from verse 8, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. I believe the greatest calamity to ever strike this earth was the flood in Noah's day. Countless millions of men and women and children and animals lost their lives by drowning. Let me give you a quick, brief overview of the flood. Number one, it was sent by God in response to a sinning, rebellious people. In the 6th chapter of Genesis, verses 5 through 7, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Please notice, there wasn't a spasmodic problem with sin. There was a continual problem with sin. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. Second of all, in the overview, it was worldwide in its coverage. There have been many people to try and challenge that and say it was a localized flood. But the Bible teaches it was worldwide in its coverage. Chapter number 6, verse number 17. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Chapter 7, verses 19 and following. The Bible says, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, upon the high hills that were under the whole heaven. They were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. The mountains were covered. All flesh died. Not some of it, all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth and every man. And all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of heaven. They were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. There were only 8 people who survived the flood. Chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect man in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And in verse number 18 of chapter 6, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. 8 people survived the flood because they were in the ark. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, and the flood waters did not completely dry up until 1 year later. Compare Genesis 7, verse 11. Genesis 7, verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain came down on the earth. It started in the 600th year of Noah's life. Compare that, if you would, please, to verse number 13 of chapter 8. It came to pass in the 601st year. That's a year later. In the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. There are many messages from God concerning the flood, but none greater than the message of the dove. The message of the dove. Noah sent out a dove to see if the flood was past. He sent that dove out on 3 different times at 7-day intervals. He was expecting the dove to give him a message as to whether judgment had passed and the waters had subsided. 3 things. Number 1, the dove flew out from the ark and flew back with nothing. Notice that carefully in this 8th chapter, verses 8 through 9. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him in the ark. So the dove flew out and flew back with nothing. Second of all, the dove flew out and flew back with an olive leaf in verses 10 through 11. He stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. And the third sending out, the dove flew out and never came back. The dove flew out and never came back. Look at verse number 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. The time that we have is very brief this morning, but I want to try and share these three things about the dove with you. Number one, the dove flew out and flew back with nothing. The dove left the ark, flew out, and flew back with absolutely nothing. Why? There wasn't anything out there. After the fall, Adam and Eve left Eden, and they went out into the world to find nothing. They found no rest. They had no home out there. There was no garden out there. There was no heavenly visitation from God Almighty out there. Only emptiness. Cain went out after he murdered his brother Abel, and he dwelt in the land of Nod, and the scripture talks about it being a place of wanderings like a vagabond. He had no rest in the land of Nod. There was no God in the land of Nod. He had no friends. The enemy sought to take his life. He had no daddy. He had no mother. He had nothing to eat. He went out and found absolutely nothing. Might I remind you, dear church, that the world lies in darkness and offers no peace or rest. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The believer has no home in this world. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of another world. And you can look and you can search as much as you want to, and you'll find nothing that has any permanent value for the child of God. There's nothing out there. The prodigal son found nothing to satisfy when he left his father's house for the world. He went out with a whole lot, but he came back empty. The only thing he brought back was slop. The only thing he brought back was a foul odor. The only thing he brought back was total disappointment and emptiness, because he looked in the world to supply it, and it was not there. Job discovered the world offers no rest. Job 14, verse 1, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. A lot of sickness in this world. A lot of sorrow in this world. A lot of pain in this world. A lot of death in this world. Solomon tried it all, did he not? And he found nothing but emptiness and vanity. For instance, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And he said, you know what? This also is vanity. I said of laughter. You know, some people think they're born to laugh, and they've laughed their whole life. Some people, I believe, want to laugh their way right into hell. And that's the first thing Solomon talks about. I said of laughter, it's mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Well, I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. Verse 4, I made me great works, built me a lot of houses, planted a lot of vineyards. Look at verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards. Verse 6, I made me pools of water. He didn't have one swimming pool. He had a whole bunch of them. Look at verse number 7, I got me servants and maidens, had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I had a herd of cattle. I gathered also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of music and musical instruments and that of all signs. So I was great. But what does he say? I increased more than they all that were before me in Jerusalem. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all of my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Listen, church. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The dove flew out and came back empty. Why? Because there was no home out there. There was no place for the dove. There was nothing to furnish the dove. Job on one occasion said, "Naked came I into this world, and guess what? Naked shall I return thither." The dove flew out and flew back with nothing. And I'm telling you, if that's what you're looking for in the world, something that'll satisfy your soul, it's not there. Second of all, the dove flew out and flew back with an olive leaf. This time, the second time, the dove comes back with an olive leaf. Look at verses 10 and 11 of Genesis chapter 8. He stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. One of the rules of hermeneutics being the science of Bible interpretation, how to interpret Scripture, what does the Scripture mean, what do verses mean? One of the rules that governs hermeneutics is the rule of first mention. And did you know this is the first time you'll read of olive in your Bible? Why? Because it was speaking of good news. Did you know there are two witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation who will have to give their lives because of denouncing sin and unrighteousness during the tribulation period? They're described as being olives. Why? Because when they resurrect, and they will resurrect, they'll have a message of good tidings of great joy. Olive leaf plucked in its mouth was speaking of good news. The olive tree is the tree of Israel. In Romans 11, 13 through 17, jot the reference down and read it. You'll find out. Concerning good news for Jews and Gentiles at the coming of the Messiah. The Gentiles in that passage are described as a wild olive tree. The tame olive tree has been placed on a shelf by God until, through jealousy of the Gentiles, the Jews will be brought back in. But the Gentiles, the wild olive tree, is going to be grafted on to the main olive tree and become a partaker of the blessings of God. That's good news. And I'm telling you, when Noah saw that olive leaf plucked in that bill of that dove, it brought joy to his heart. It was good news because judgment had passed. Judgment had passed. I'm telling you, the best thing to ever happen in the world is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, there's peace. In Jesus Christ, there is rest. May I run these down real quickly? John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Did not our Lord say in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," R-E-S-T, rest. "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, you shall find rest unto your souls." John 5, 24, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." You've got peace, you've got rest, you've got life, but it's only found in Jesus Christ, not in the world. Not in the world. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The third thing about this dove, it flew out and it never came back. Flew out once, came back with nothing. Flew out a second time, came back with an olive leaf plucked in its bill. Flew out the third time and never came back. In our text in Genesis 8:12, the scripture says, and he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now listen carefully. The reason the dove did not come back is because the Lord had provided him a home somewhere else. The dove found a home when it left the ark, and he never came back. Believers do not have a home in this world. I said that a moment ago, and I need to emphasize it. We're but pilgrims passing through. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our home, my dear friends, is not on this earth. Our home is in heaven. We're just pilgrims passing through. Please notice also that our Savior, when he left this earth to go back to be with God, he went to prepare a home for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Look, God's people don't have a place down here. We just don't have a place down here. You would think maybe that some believers are going to live here forever. No, we're just temporary residents here passing through. The Lord has provided a home for us. And what a beautiful home that is going to be. In Revelation 21, 1 through 4, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they'll be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The dove left and never came back because the dove found a home that God had prepared for her. And what a beautiful home that will be. One of these days, God's going to call us home. He's already called a lot of folk home. And you can think of loved ones that you cried when they died and your heart was heavy when death took them from you. But yet you know in your heart of hearts, according to the promise of God's word, they're in a much better place. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more dying. They had a home, not here, but their home was up there. And we too, as God's people, have a home. And one of these days, God's going to call us home. The window will be opened, and we will fly far away, never to return. Why will we not return? Return for what? Return for what? We're home. We're home. There is a verse of Scripture in Psalm 55, verse 6, I want to leave you with. The writer said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and would be at rest." That's why the dove didn't come back. I don't know who wrote it, but they spoke of this when they wrote these words: "Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'll fly away to that land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away." The dove left and came back with nothing. The dove left and came back with good news. Judgment was over. And then the dove left and never came back. And we'll be like that dove. Do you know the Lord? Can you find comfort in that? Can you find consolation in that? There's a lot of depression today, dear friends. People are so concerned about what's happening to our nation. I've told you this before, and I tell you again, I do not find anywhere in the Bible where the United States is prophesied. It's not mentioned. It's not mentioned. Germany is mentioned. Russia is mentioned. Other countries of the world are mentioned, but not the United States of America. I'm telling you, if this nation goes down, it'll go down because God's people didn't vote. They didn't vote. They didn't assume the responsibility and commit themselves to making it what it ought to be for the Lord. Let's stand, please, for prayer.